Welcome to the Holidays to Switzerland Travel Podcast. Your host is the founder of holidaystoswitzerland.com and the Switzerland Travel Planning Facebook group, Carolyn Schonefinger. On this podcast, Carolyn will be joined by a variety of guests who share their knowledge and love of the country to help you plan your dream trip to Switzerland.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Holidays to Switzerland Travel Podcast. Today we're going further south in the country and my special guest is Veronica LaFranchi, who's a country manager for Ticino Tourism. Now, I've briefly spent some time in the Ticino region around Ascona, Locarno. So I'm really interested to hear more from Veronica about the rest of this beautiful region and what it's got to offer and why we should include that in our Swiss itineraries. Welcome, Veronica.
Thank you. Hello. Hello, everybody.
Great to have you here.
Great to be here. Even if you're so far away, it seems you're here in Switzerland.
That's right. We're in Switzerland in spirit, definitely. Now, can you start by telling us a bit about the Ticino region and how it's different to perhaps the more well-known, especially to non-Europeans, the more well-known regions of central and northern Switzerland?
Yeah, sure. So we are located in the south, and what is different is that people in Ticino speak Italian. So you are in Switzerland, you have the Swiss quality, trains run on time, and it's precise. But at the same time, you have this Italian flair. So not just people speak Italian, but you have Italian food. You walk around with Italian architecture. So you feel you are in a kind of Italy, but like they say Italy for beginners. And still beautiful outdoors, so the lakes, the mountains as in the north part, but just a little different with a little touch. So we recommend that people going to Lucerne, Interlaken, the usual Switzerland for people that are coming from far away, to come to Ticino to taste something different, because it's definitely an upgrade of your holiday to see something really, really different and different from Italy as well. Because if you cross the border from Italy and you come to Ticino, you're like, this is not Italy, because really it's more clean and it's just something in between. And we say we picked the best out of the two.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how I would sum it up, the best of both worlds. Now, you mentioned there Italian food. So what are some of the typical dishes that people could expect to find in Ticino?
So here again, it's different from the north. We don't eat so many potatoes. And what we eat here, it's more of a northern Italian cuisine, so very similar to the cuisine they have in Milan. So risotto is a must. And Ticino used to be a very poor region back in like in the 1800s. In fact, many people from Ticino migrated to Australia and also California. So what they ate back then was polenta and chestnuts. Like my grandparents grew up with polenta and chestnuts for lunch and dinner, basically.
Wow.
And now these dishes, they became kind of delicatessen, like especially chestnuts. They're appreciated. They are cooked in different ways. And polenta, it's probably one of the basic meals you could ever have. But still, now they cook it with different side dishes. And people love to go back to the grottos. Grottos are the typical inns that we have here, and those are nowhere to be found else than Ticino. They're restaurants, not typical restaurants, but they're like made in, they always have a stone cave where to store the cold cuts, the cheeses, the wine. And then you don't find a grotto in the middle of a town. They're always a little bit in the outskirts. They typically have a place in the shadow because it tends to get quite warm in the summer. So people go there and enjoy their meal on these stone tables. And you don't find spaghetti or pizza in a grotto. You just find risotto, polenta, the cold cuts, merlot. We also have white Merlot in Ticino. And it's one of the only places in the world that offers white Merlot. The typical one is Merlot, but the white one is unique from this region.
Lovely. So there's plenty of different foods to try when we visit.
Yeah.
Now, sure. Two of the places that many people would possibly have heard of are Lake Lugano and Lake Maggiore. What are the two main what are the differences between the two lakes?
Well, the size, Lake Maggiore is much bigger, but the Swiss part of Lake Maggiore, it's just one third of it. And Lake Lugano has also a little bit that goes into Italy. So that's similar, that both lakes have a piece that goes into Italy. The difference is not very much because Ticino is not a huge region. So it's very similar. Probably people have in their mind pictures of Como, so which is just 25 minutes away from Lugano. So the landscape, it's quite similar to Lake Como. Lake Maggiore, maybe it's more, the mountains are not so steep on the lake, so it's a little bit more soft hills, but still they go up. So beautiful to go and see the rivers, like the Verzasca River. I invite everybody to Google Verzasca Valley and see the lake there.
I want to talk to you a bit more about that in a moment.
Good afterwards, then. But both are beautiful, and maybe Lugano it's more international than that. Locarno, which is on Lake Maggiore, actually, I know people from Australia might not know this region so much, but when it comes to going on a holiday, a Swiss person would probably go either to Ticino or to the Graubünden. That's their preferred destination. Where to go on a holiday? Where would people from Australia go on a holiday, on a domestic holiday?
On a domestic holiday?
Yeah.
Yeah, to Queensland, where it's warm. Yeah, that's the number one destination. Yeah,
so I guess, we are the Queensland of Switzerland.
Yeah, right. Perfect. And yeah, excellent. Now you touched on there the Verzasca Valley.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind, can you just run through some of the most popular places for people to visit in Ticino and that being one of them?
Valle Verzasca for sure is one of the most popular, a bit remote, and otherwise Lugano, which is the biggest city, or Bellinzona, which is the capital and has three castles, which are UNESCO World Heritages. Mm-hmm. Then Locarno, which is popular because of the film festival taking place, I used to say every year. Last year it didn't, of course, take place. We'll see this year with the Piazza Grande, which fits 8,000 people in a normal year, and a beautiful huge screen where people watch the movie Under the Stars. And then Ascona, which is also called the Pearl of Lake Maggiore, with a beautiful lake promenade, which is pedestrian. And there is a lot of art galleries, restaurant on this lakeshore. Probably if you Google it, it's the best way to get an idea.
Yeah, the beautiful coloured buildings, I think that just is so symbolic of Ascona, isn't it? They're just beautiful.
With the palm trees, yeah, because people, in Ticino we have palm trees as well. So that's what sets us apart from the rest of Switzerland, the climate. Yeah. That's why Swiss people, when they come, they go on a holiday, they like to come to Ticino, because when it rains in the north, it's sunny in the south, which is often the case.
Yeah. Good. Now, you mentioned Bellinzona and the three UNESCO castles there. Can you tell us a bit more about the history of those? And I believe that only one is sort of still, you know, intact these days. Is that right?
No, actually, all three of them. They have been renovated in the 90s. And the history is that Ticino is historical go-through way from the north to the south. So from... Well, there is other one, but probably the Gotthard Pass was the most popular and still is. So if you go from Germany to Italy, you will very much likely pass through Ticino. And that was the case also back in the days. And so you would go through Bellinzona. And what they did is that they blocked the way. So those castles are not castles where kings and queens would live, but they were strategically located because of land possession. So they could close the way. And okay. Still today, you see these three castles. In fact, one is up in the hill, and you can totally tell that it's a strategic position where they could spot people going through the valley. And definitely worth a visit. There were restaurants, one in the bigger one in the inside the city of Bellinzona, and another restaurant atop the castle. Yes, definitely worth a visit.
Okay, and you mentioned Lugano, and it's quite a large city, but there's some lovely smaller villages around the lake, isn't there? Morcote, Gandria. Yeah.
There is Gandria, there is Morcote, which back in 2016 won the contest as the most beautiful village of Switzerland. So they are located on the lake, so you can take a boat, and with your Swiss pass you can... you can go for free. And there used to be fishing villages, and they kept their uniqueness with the Italian flair and architecture. Mm-hmm. And today they're not fishing villages anymore. Actually, the Swiss lakes, at least here, they're too clean to fish fishes. Because, it's too clean and the fishes
can't find anything to eat.
Yeah, you can't find because they don't find food. It's too clean. It's true. And so no more fishermen's, but beautiful restaurants. So it's really nice to see those two villages.
Yeah. And Lugano is also surrounded by mountains, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, we call them the pre-Alps. Lugano is not in the Alps yet. But the north of Ticino is. So if you go towards the north part, Airolo, that's where we also go skiing just domestically. It's small ski resorts. Lugano has nice soft, it's more than hills definitely, but soft mountains where you can go. Like this weekend I went for a snowshoeing experience, or you can what it's nice is that the whole year round you can basically do hiking or snowshoeing like this year because we got a lot of snow. And you go up there, either you reach the top with the funicular, there is two going up to Monte Bre or Monte San Salvatore, and then you start your hike, or you can hike from the town. Or if you don't want to do it too hard, you can do the Olive Trail, which goes from Gandria to Lugano. Along the lake, it's a 45-minute walk among the olive trees. So what I think sets Ticino apart is the diversity, because you go from the glaciers in the north to the palm trees in just like 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And there is many different places around the world, but you know, where everything is so close by, not so easy to find, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Now, there's no doubt some unique experiences that people can enjoy in Ticino. So I wanted to ask you about a couple of those. And please, if there's any others that you think we should know about, please let me know. But one of them is that beautiful church above Lucano, the Madonna del Sasso mm-hmm. Church. What could you tell us about that?
That's a very nice. It's a very nice church. Actually, it's a lot for local or for people that are like pilgrimage. It's not a mass tourism. I mean, we don't have mass tourism anyway in Ticino, but it's not the first place that a tourist coming for the first time in Ticino would go, even though it's beautiful. It belongs to the Sacri Monti, we call them. So sacred mountains. There is many also in the north of Italy. And so people doing pilgrimage, they also go to that church, Madonna del Sasso. It's called Madonna of the Stone, translated in English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, okay. So I did this when I visited Locarno, and I just for those listeners that don't know, you catch it, or you can catch a funicular from Locarno, which is a very short ride up to where the church is. And when you walk out sort of onto the balcony up the side of the church, the views over the lake are just absolutely magnificent. Yeah.
So you don't need to go there and be Catholic. You can go there and enjoy the view, and it's really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, you can go further up with the cable car to the mountains, which again, that just blew my mind. The views from up there are incredible.
Yeah. Actually, from there, so you could take three means of transport: a funicular, the cable car, and the chairlift to go up to the top. And if you arrive in Cardada, so after the cable car, there is a panoramic point where you can see the lowest point of Switzerland, the highest in one place. So there is kind of a passerella, and there you see the Brissago Islands, which are the lowest point, and the Point de Four, which is the Tifurspitze. It's the highest point.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that was a really fun thing to do, and I'm not a fan of cable cars and so on because I'm a bit of a scaredy cat, but I actually forced myself, and the cable car was okay, but the chairlift, that was a bit scary. But it was definitely worth it because, the views from up there are just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, there's also, for those like me who aren't fond of heights, there's a lovely train ride that goes through the Center Valley. Could you tell us a bit about that? Because that was one thing I was hoping to do, but I didn't get time. So that'll have to be for the next visit.
It's funny, when I went to university, I used to do that train ride every weekend, and it was so normal. And, when you see something and you're young, you don't see anything special anymore. And now I do it, like, having traveled the world and doing that again, like, oh, how couldn't I see this beauty? Well, most of the time it was dark. So, winter, right?
Yeah.
5 o'clock, it was 6 o'clock, was dark.
But,
so what there is actually a journalist from Italy that did that ride, I believe, 4 years ago, and he started to call it the Foliage Train. And somehow this name started really booming in the media. And we also call it now the Foliage Train. See, we need tourists to see to find names and to see the beauty, because it gets normal. So what it's called Cento Valley Train, and it's train run among Cento Valle, which means in English 100 valleys, and you really see 100 valleys. It's it goes kind of slow because it's not a highway, so you have all the time to take pictures and to enjoy the landscape. And you would see a lot of palm trees in the summer, and especially on the Swiss side. And then you would see the snow. That also during the fall time. And it's a good reason to come in the fall, because during the fall you see the beautiful colors.
Yeah.
Really.
And you can combine that with a lake cruise, can't you? So you can start in Locarno do the train ride and then get the ferry back.
Yeah, it's the Lake Maggiore Express, which it's a hop-off train. And so train and boat. So you buy this ticket from the company of Locarno, which is called FART, FART. And you buy that directly from them. It's called Ferrovie Autolinee Regionali Ticinesi. That's why it's called FART. I guess they didn't know English back then when they called it. So basically, it's you go with the boat from Locarno to Stresa, which is in Italy, and there you can hop off on the boat, and then from Stresa you go to Domodossola, with the train, and then from Domodossola, I come back to Locarno. Mm-hmm. It's not a day. It would be more of a 2 days.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Excellent. Now, another church that looks really fascinating, I haven't visited this one, is the little black and white church in, is it Mogno?
Yeah.
In the Valle Maggia.
Valle Maggia, yes. Yeah. The Magic Valley, we call it. Mogno, yeah. It's a church designed by the star architect Mario Botta. He is from Ticino. He designed also the Museum of Modern Art in San Francisco, many, many things around the world. And it's so he built that church in Mogno after an avalanche destroyed the old church. And it really stands out because you have this typical village made of stone houses, and then you have this modern architecture, and it's controversial. I love it. Some people say it's too much of a shock to see that modern building in that little village. In any case, many tourists go there because they're fan of Mario Botta, and so they go to see that church.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah. But both of those valleys have some incredible places to see. But it's the slate buildings that date back hundreds and hundreds of years that just make them really unique, isn't it?
Yeah, they are dating back from the 13, 1400 or after too. And there is many valleys which used to be populated just in the summer. And they used to be Valli di Transumanza, Transumance Valley. It's not a popular word in English, but it means that when people, they were like taking the cows before going to the Alps in the summer, they were staying for a period of time in those valleys so that the cows could get new grass. And then they would go up there in the Alps in the summer and come back during the spring and the fall So yeah, beautiful.
Okay, so they were traditionally only inhabited in the warmer months. Is that right?
This is especially valid for Val Bavona, which is a part of Valle Maggia. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Down in the Valle Maggia, people would live there also in the winter time.
Hmm. Yeah. Now, I think one thing I noticed when I was in Valle Vasasca, and sorry if I'm pronouncing it incorrectly.
Perfect.
Of course, I went to see the amazing Bridge of Jumps, which I'll get you to explain in a moment. But there's in the valleys, there's just so many different outdoor activities that you can do, isn't there?
Yeah, the Valle Vasasca, that's probably the case for the whole region of Ascona Locarno, those valleys belong to Ascona Locarno region as well. You can do the bungee jumping, for example, if you're into crazy things, adrenaline things. And that's the bungee jumping where James Bond jumped in the movie GoldenEye. And then there is a lot of rock climbing. You can do paragliding. And of course, hiking and mountain biking are also, hiking and mountain biking are the most popular.
Yeah, sure. And swimming, if you're brave, in the,
swimming,
the river. Yeah.
Yeah, in the swimming holes. It's too cold for me and for many people. There you see another cultural difference. Swiss German people come and they jump in this cold river, and I'm like watching and enjoying to watch them, but it's too cold for me. It's like probably like 6-8 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, definitely too cold. And we've mentioned a couple of mountains, and you said before that at the weekend you went snowshoeing. Do the mountains, is it normal that they would have enough snow in winter to go skiing and other snow activities?
I mean, 20 years ago, it was perfectly normal. Nowadays, with the climate change, we don't get that much snow every year. That's why we don't promote Ticino so much for skiing. But snowshoeing, like in the north, where Airolo is, it's there you get snow every year. And it's near Andermatt in the German part. Yeah. So there we get snow every winter. But we like to promote what we can deliver. So snowshoeing, yes, for sure. Beautiful, actually. Wow. I went this weekend. And this year we got so much snow that we can snowshoeing like 20 minutes from my house. I go up. I live in Locarno. And we went up and, oh, it was just marvelous.
Wow. Yeah. I've been looking at photos on Instagram and, yeah, it's just incredible. Yeah. But normally the region is sort of renowned for having a Mediterranean climate, isn't it?
Yeah. We have milder climate. That's why I mentioned before Swiss-German people like to come to Ticino because we are sheltered from the Alps, from the cold wind doesn't come through that much. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of days we have sunshine and that's why they come here. So it's always warmer. Maybe, I don't know how many days, but like really rare that it's colder than the north part. And we like the climate here, and it allows the palm trees to grow, and it's really, really nice.
And have more of an outdoor sort of lifestyle too.
Yeah, that's for sure. But still, even if it's mostly sunny, we have the four seasons, so a beautiful spring. Oh, spring is so nice with the blossoming of the flowers. We have a camellia festival in Locarno, for instance. Beautiful magnolia. So it's like when you're walking in the streets in the spring, you see fireworks like these beautiful pink trees. And also the fall is so nice, and the summer, of course.
Lovely. Now, being in Switzerland, I imagine that public transportation is plentiful. So I'm sure it's easy to get around if people don't have a car.
It's super easy to get around. And we have a news, actually. In Switzerland, we like to drill mountains. And we, in 2016, they opened the new Gotthard train. So it's super easy, even faster to come from Zurich to Ticino. And now, 1 month ago, they opened the new Ceneri Tunnel, which allows to go even in a quicker way through Ticino. So before Lugano, Locarno was an hour, now it's 30 minutes. Mm. And so it's, more of a city Ticino rather than Locarno, Bellinzona, Lugano. Everything's so close and you just stay either in Lugano or Locarno, Bellinzona, you just go around and it's super, super easy. And what we have since 2016 is the Ticino ticket. So, mm-hmm. Of course, the Swiss pass is valid, but if you come to Ticino and you intend to stay a little longer, you don't need a Swiss pass, actually. Because when you check in a hotel or a youth hostel or a camping place, you get the Ticino ticket for free, which allows you to go in all the SBB train network without paying anything. So you get it at the check-in and it's valid until the midnight of the day you check out and you don't pay anything. You try on trains, city buses and the yellow postal buses. And you get reduction on the boats and reduction on other attractions.
Yeah, we found that, really useful because we actually stayed at Brissago and, we had a car, but we left our car at the hotel and just used the public transport, the buses, and to go everywhere. And, as you say, we got reductions off admission fees and things like that as well. So really useful.
And we encourage, we are trying to be more and more and more sustainable and green. So we really encourage the tourists to make good use of the Ticino ticket.
Yeah, excellent. Now, before we sort of finish up and I get you to wrap up why Ticino is a must-visit destination, there's one place I wanted to chat to you about which I visited, and it's the smallest village in Switzerland.
Corippo.
Yes, an amazing place. Just getting there, wow, that was interesting.
Yeah, it's called Corippo. It's in the Valle Verzasca, and it has 13 inhabitants and two cats. So it's a small 13, village. Of...
1-3, is that? That's correct. Yeah. 1-3, yeah.
And they used to have a mayor until 4 years ago. Now, actually, the village merged with, it was not sustainable to keep a village with one mayor for these few people. In Switzerland, we vote for everything. And so imagine voting in that village. Everybody would know what you're voting, and it's so easy to spot who's voting what. So now, that village belongs to another village of Valle Verzasca. So they merged together. It's easier, but it's a beautiful village to visit. And it used to, back in the days, be one of those places where it used to live just in the summer, Transumanza. Yeah. And then people started to settle there also, and they had 250 inhabitants. But then it's kind of remote. We're not so easy to get to. Mm-hmm. From Locarno, it's about 45 minutes. So, commuting every day, 45 minutes, and people left the village a little bit. And so now... I don't think there is anybody younger than 65. Maybe the mayor was 65, but the other are all above 70.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a beautiful village to visit. And yeah, the drive up the from the main road up to the village was interesting. Very, very interesting.
They're working on opening a spread out hotel, like where you don't have a reception, but you go to the osteria, which is the center of the village, and they are renovating all these houses. So you're not given the room 303, but they will give you the key of the house, and they say you tell you the family name of that house. And it's gonna be ready, I think, for this. They've been working on it. They're raising funds, and I think this summer they're starting to opening partially some of the houses.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Well, yeah, I'd love it if you kept me, informed when that happens, because I'm sure everyone. Yeah, that would be something really unique.
Sure. Yeah.
Great. Okay. So, just to wrap up, what do you think makes Ticino a must visit destination?
Many things. I think that's the thing about Ticino. It's not just one thing. You don't come for the Matterhorn or like in Zermatt. There is so many things. There is the climate, the diversity of the glacier and the palm trees together, the Swiss quality, the Italian style, the outdoor activities, and it's the unexpected Switzerland. Great for families, great for singles, and nice gastronomy, white Merlot, many, many things, UNESCO World Heritages, many, many, many things. And that's something that maybe it's like you're not too credible when you say, yeah, we have like the best of, but come here and check it out yourself. I'm sure you won't be disappointed.
No, that's right. Ticino has everything.
Yeah. When sometimes people ask me how many days should I stay in Ticino, and I'm like, you can stay here like many days. I would say minimum of three, maximum of as much as you like.
Yeah, absolutely. On my visit, I stayed 5 days, and we really just scraped the very top of the surface. So could easily spend a week or 10 days just in Ticino, and you'd still have much more to see.
I'm finding places, like with the pandemic, I'm not going anywhere, and I actually like it because every weekend I discover new places if you like the outdoor. Mm-hmm. So many.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Veronica, for taking the time to speak with us.
It's been lovely
to learn a bit more about Ticino, and hopefully one day soon when this pandemic's over, we can get back traveling and make Ticino number one destination that we visit in Switzerland.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure for me as well. And I actually didn't come to Australia yet. I visit the world a lot, but didn't make it to Australia. I hope to come to Queensland.
Yeah. Well, you'll be with lots of other Australians when you do.
Good. I like it when it's local.
Good. Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening. For more great resources on planning a trip to Switzerland, make sure you visit holidaystoswitzerland.com, where you'll find trip planning tips, destination guides, information on transport, including Swiss rail passes, and much more. You're also encouraged to join the Switzerland Travel Planning Group on Facebook, where you can ask questions and chat to other past and future travellers to Switzerland. You'll find show notes from today's episode at holidaystoswitzerland.com/podcast, and be sure to subscribe to the Holidays to Switzerland Travel Podcast so you never miss an episode.